him has been in getting him to let go of his inhibitions and overwrought concerns for the feelings of others and just have a good time. I think you'll find that Alex won't let his success corrupt him. Taylor's arms went around her sides, then back down into her lap.
I guess I can see that.
And so here you are. Lorelai stepped a little closer, taking Taylor's hand as if they were close friends. Taylor, while you may not be looking for a new boyfriend, I think that night at the mall isn't over for you yet. He's not looking for a serious romantic relationship with you, but that intimacy was not lost on him either.
You're saying he'd be a good friend with benefits?
Taylor asked, the faintest hints of a self-deprecating and yet hopeful smile played at the corners of her lips.
I imagine so.
Lorelai smiled.
But that will be for the two of you to decide. What matters is that he cares about you.
It seems crazy that you're okay with it being more than that. Lorelai's smile turned both dark and inviting.
I would love to help you both,
she offered. Taylor's eyes widened. That was not what she meant.
Whoa,
she said.
I'm not into-
Taylor? Lorelai broke in. Her tone grew soothing, but in a way that hardly calmed Taylor at all.
I am something of an expert in body language. You seem to be dealing with a bit of restlessness here. A not unpleasant restlessness.
The young girl's eyes remained wide, like a deer in headlights. Lorelai came ever closer.
You are entirely safe with Alex,
she murmured. Her hands slid up Taylor's arms.
And you are entirely safe with me. What is said and done here will only leave this room if you wish it.
Shuddering with every breath, Taylor fell to a complete loss for words. Instinct held her in place. She wasn't entirely sure what was going to happen, nor if she really wanted it. But at the same time, she didn't want to stop it. Lorelai paused, feeling the girl shake like a leaf. Apart from ensuring Taylor's calm and honesty, she used no supernatural influence. Lorelai had advantages of beauty that few mortals could match, of course, but she also possessed natural sensitivity to desire and vast experience.
If you wish me to stop, Lorelai reassured her, I will stop.
Her kiss was soft on Taylor's lips. She pressed gently, feeling only the slightest reflexive return from the nervous girl. Lorelai's kiss slid across Taylor's mostly closed mouth, patiently and invitingly, until she felt Taylor's lips begin to part. Then she moved in a bit closer, bringing legs and breasts against each other as she gathered Taylor into an embrace. Taylor's willingness grew. She was timid at first, but her head began to swim and she felt herself getting warm. Taylor had never kissed another girl. She hadn't even considered it outside of musing that it wouldn't be so bad whenever the issue came up in a film and such. Taylor had been to parties where guys encouraged it, but she wasn't one for putting on a show for a crowd of guys just looking to get their jollies. This, however, was entirely different. Taylor felt something entirely new as she melted into the arms of Alex's strange, endlessly confident lover. Her arms slipped around Lorelai as she moved from shy recipient to hungry participant. She let go of her fears and instead found herself holding Lorelai around the waist, then by the shoulders, then even with her hands roaming over Lorelai's perfectly rounded ass. Her body toned up under Lorelai's attentions. Given her natural beauty and youth, the changes were slight. Taylor didn't feel a thing. Tiny blemishes in her skin faded away. The last of her scrapes and bruises from her tumbles on Wednesday disappeared. Her stomach tightened, only by a small amount, but what was already quite attractive became downright unfair. Lorelai had felt Alex's pleasure for the last 20 minutes, and more as he threw himself into the joyous task of driving his sexy young partner to ecstasy. He only allowed the briefest respite after their first romp before he began a second. Lorelai could see him through Jocelyn's eyes. Tormented with that arousal, Lorelai fought the urge to rip Taylor's clothes to shreds and take her right there in the bathroom.
Time for that later, though,
she thought. Her plan,
conceived in mere seconds after Alex had mentioned this party 2 days ago, moved along quite well. She could maintain her self-control long enough to see it through.
Oh my God. Jocelyn panted in disbelief. You still want more?
Even as she protested, though, her hand tugged weakly on his hip as if to encourage him.
Is that okay? Alex asked. Are you sore? Do you want to rest?
No, Jocelyn said, gulping for air. I'm a little sensitive. But you feel so good, I don't want you to stop. I just can't believe you can keep going.
I've got an arousing partner.
Alex grinned, leaning in to kiss her lightly on the lips. Their slow mutual grind continued.
So you're okay? You don't want to rest?
I don't know if I can do anything in return, but yeah, I want more, she confessed. I just don't want to be one of those stuck-up girls who just lie there, thinking they're all that. But I'm already worn out.
That's all right, Alex said.
He looked down at the dark-skinned beauty spread out beneath him and smiled.
You are all that.
She beamed with appreciation. Then she learned what it felt like when he was gentle.
Seduced her like she's just some common trollop, and now he's in bed with her doing...
I know,
Rachel said, a hungrily appreciative look on her face. She sat with Hannah on her rooftop, doing absolutely nothing to conceal her interest.
I can see him and your girl right now. So fucking hot. She's a moaner, too.
You don't see anything wrong with this?
Jocelyn's guardian angel pressed. He stood on the rooftop's ledge, glaring down at Rachel in exasperation.
Course I do.
Rachel nodded, still staring toward the house. This is 9 kinds of fucked up. I've got no drink, I've got no popcorn.
And I'm not in that bed with him instead of her, she added silently, but that was best kept to herself.
Rachel,
Hannah counseled, you're not being very nice to Sydney. He's a fine guardian angel with an excellent track record.
Well, Sydney should quit being such a Mary about all this,
Rachel snorted. She looked up at the other guardian.
Seriously, loosen up.
She led him into that bedroom, and he's not the first guy she's been with, is he? Sydney folded his arms and looked away. Rachel pressed.
Is he? How many guys, Sydney?
3,
huffed the angel standing beside her.
Though the only one that she wasn't in love with before now was that Gabriel boy.
Huh, Rachel snapped, then blinked. Wait, is that the same one dating that Taylor girl?
Gabriel pined away for Jocelyn before dating Taylor.
Sydney frowned. He waved his hand dismissively.
It was brief. I think they were both dazzled by one another's popularity. Jocelyn indulged him a bit too far, but broke it off. I knew then she could do better, just like now.
Bad chance of that, Rachel responded dryly. I wonder if Taylor's coming tonight, though.
Then she saw another guardian angel fly out of the second floor. This one was a tall woman with dark hair, broad shoulders, and icy, accusatory blue eyes directed straight at Rachel.
You, she barked. I need to talk to you about your Alex and that raging, indiscriminate whore.
I should quit smoking these, Trish muttered.
Wade pulled the lighter away from her cigarette as she took a long drag. He was happy to have such pretty company out on the front porch.
I wouldn't have pegged you for a smoker.
I'm not so much,
shrugged the petite, bespeckled brunette. She wore jeans and a firefly t-shirt under a simple jacket. Just socially, I quit once already, but I get out to parties where people smoke and I get the urge. Usually I'm better at fighting it.
Not tonight, though, huh?
No.
Trish glanced out to the street, where more people were coming up, and then back again.
I saw you come out here, and I figured, why not?
Aw, y'all came out here just to smoke with me?
Wade smiled. He said it mainly as a joke.
Yeah. She took a breath of cleaner air. I like your accent.
she managed to get out.
I'm happy to have your company, but, you know, you don't have to smoke.
I know, she nodded, and then quietly blurted out, I just wanted to have something to do with my mouth and my hands.
Wade blinked. Trish took a long, self-conscious drag of her cigarette and then coughed.
So, how'd you get here?
She asked. Went to high school with Sherry. What about you?
I'm in Sherry's self-defense class at the UW.
Aw, you're a Husky. What's your major?
I'm doubling in English Lit and Computer Science. What about you?
Wade blinked again. That's a combo, huh. Well, I kinda just got out of the Army, and now I'm at North Seattle doing the EMT program.
Why'd you get out?
Got hit in Afghanistan.
Trish's lips pursed, making Wade wonder if she already knew that. Now that he thought about it, he could have sworn she was in the living room earlier. His suspicions rose further when she leaned in and asked mischievously, Can I see your scar? Before Wade could work out a witty rejoinder, he realized the new arrivals stood glaring at him at the foot of the front porch. They were all quite tall, even compared to him. Gabriel wasted no time.
Where's Alex?
Oh, hi, Gabriel, Wade said, before taking another drag on his cigarette. He counted four towering basketball players behind the equally towering speaker. How y'all doing?
I'm here to find Alex, and I'm here to talk to Taylor. His stupid Facebook said he was coming, and I saw her car down the hill, so I know they're both here.
Wade didn't move out from in front of the door. Wow, that's some hardcore deductive reasoning there. UW's really raising them academic standards on y'all student-athletes, huh?
Gabriel's eyes flared. Behind him, his teammates began to shuffle and murmur, like the good goon squad they clearly were.
You gonna move out of the way?
Wade tossed down a cigarette, then pulled out a new one and lit it up.
Nope,
he smiled. At least not till I finish my cigarette. Hey, Trish, could y'all do me a huge favor and let Alex know that Gabriel's here looking for him? And Taylor, too.
I don't know either of them.
Aw, Wade nodded, obviously knowing that already. Taylor's a beautiful brunette. She's a sweetie. Kind of girl you just want to take care of, unless you're a jackass. Alex Carlisle, though, don't know him? Well, tell you what. Just go to the kitchen and let the guy attending bar know what's up. His name's Drew. He knows them both.
Quickly understanding the situation, Trish slipped inside.
Yo, why are we waiting outside here?
Complained one of Gabriel's companions. According to his game jersey, he was number 14.
No shit,
said another, a tall and lanky blonde guy in a Husky's jacket.
Let's just move him.
Y'all are welcome to move me, Wade offered helpfully. But the first one tries gets to find out why Gabe here ain't made a move. He might know a thing or two about me that y'all don't.
Rachel's rooftop grew crowded. Seeing Gabriel and his entourage approach, the blonde angel gave out a loud, clear whistle. Along with the five basketball players came a few guardian angels, who pulled away from their charges to meet their brethren on Rachel's rooftop.
Hey, Timothy, what's up with this shit? Rachel asked. Her question was as much a friendly taunt as it was genuine curiosity.
Her spirits remained high, despite the haranguing from Taylor's guardian angel, Julia.
Hello, Rachel, sighed the one that had walked closest to Gabriel. This is my charge being dumb, and he has dragged along some of his friends to share in his dumbness.
Dumbness? Hannah asked.
It rubs off on you, Timothy shrugged.
Oh, no, Julia groaned. Don't tell me.
Timothy dropped his head a bit.
He's out to visit his righteous anger upon the man who stole his girlfriend.
Your Gabriel cheated on my Taylor with 4 different women this year, Julia scowled.
6, Timothy corrected ruefully. It's not like I can just tell him that. I've tried leaving plenty of signs to guide him from this path, but he's willfully blind.
So what's he gonna do about it? Rachel asked. Again, Timothy shrugged.
I don't know. Probably beat up your Alex.
Rachel snorted. Fat chance of that.
Do you plan to interfere? Your condition gives you a freedom of direct intervention that the rest of us lack, Hannah said.
Yes, Julia fumed.
You could, for instance, pull that abyssal trollop off of my Taylor.
Or you could have prevented your charge from soiling my Jocelyn, sulked Sydney.
Rachel groaned, her eyes rolling uncontrollably. Finally, she looked up at Timothy.
I'm not gonna do a damn thing, she declared.
I don't need to. Your boy starts anything, he'll be the one who goes home crying. Timothy and the angels with him gave a collective snort of skepticism.
Unlikely, said one of them, a short, dark-haired female. Gabriel and these others are top-notch athletes. They're in the best shape they could be in during the prime of their lives. You should be a little more concerned for the safety of your charge.
What's your name? Rachel asked with a curious cock of her head.
Martina, she said.
So, are you and Timothy ready to back up that shit-talking with anything serious? Alex and Jocelyn made sure to look presentable before sneaking out of Sherry's bedroom. They heard a bump and moan from the upstairs bathroom as they passed, and shared a self-conscious giggle.
Wonder who's inside,
Alex murmured on their way down the stairs. People saw them coming down, but they hardly knew anyone at the base of the steps and didn't care about their suspicions.
I need a glass of water so bad, Jocelyn announced.
Yeah, me too,
Alex said as they turned the corner to the kitchen. A hand grabbed his wrist, abruptly pulling him in another direction.
Gabriel's here, outside, Drew told him. Looking for you. Shit, seriously?
Alex blinked.
Yeah, looking for Taylor, too. She went off to talk with your girlfriend somewhere. Meantime, I guess Gabe just showed up with his posse like 2 minutes ago and he's beefing. Wade's out there stalling him. Man, I really misjudged this one,
Alex muttered.
Yeah, no shit. How many years I've been telling you to quit expecting people to act like adults?
We should not take this too far, Lorelai murmured.
No,
Taylor whimpered back. She blinked then, coming down a bit from their long, hot makeout session.
No, she agreed. I can't. Oh my God. I've never done this.
The seductive smile she saw in response left her willpower in tatters all over again.
You're a natural, Taylor,
Lorelai said in a quiet, encouraging voice. She continued to caress Taylor's head, her neck, and her shoulders. She trailed soft kisses across Taylor's face and teased her lips with more.
This is so bad, Taylor thought aloud.
No. Lorelai shook her head. It's fine. This is all fine. What you have to decide is whether or not you want more. More of me, and more of Alex. Yours for the taking. Taylor inhaled with a tremor. She had no idea what she could possibly say to that. With each passing heartbeat, she also wondered more and more if she could possibly turn it down.
It's all up to you, Lorelai said. I will not pressure you, nor would Alex. He cares for you, and he wants you to be happy more than he desires you. I would always honor that.
Her hands had not come off of Taylor, though, nor had their closeness become any less charged.
I have to think about this, Taylor admitted. Of course, came Lorelai's understanding response. I have a proposition for you, though. Something to perhaps put your thoughts in context.
She backed up a step, took a deep breath, and let the tension diminish.
And then I must ask of you a slightly awkward and more immediate favor.
Well, I don't actually know him, Brittany said, as the party shifted to the front of the house. He goes to my school. I haven't talked to him before tonight, but I've seen him there.
Alistair nodded, asking nothing more. He received the sketched images over his phone half an hour ago. Alistair hadn't looked immediately after the contraption buzzed. Though younger in mindset and more adaptable than many of his kind, even Alistair didn't care for the presumptuous urgency of modern communications. Serendipity made itself plain, though, when he got around to checking the message. He didn't expect anything from his liege tonight. The vampire could barely contain his excitement when he viewed the images attached to the request for all in the city to look for two individuals. He had his phone's camera ready, just in time for a snapshot of Carlyle as he hustled past. It was a usable picture. Alistair knew this would win favor of Lady Anastasia for quite some time. Brittany vanished once more, but Alistair hardly cared. He immediately sent off the picture along with Carlyle's name and school. He briefly considered relaying his location, but decided to wait. Best to display his unhesitating observance of duty with this immediate response, then later follow up with a hard-won trove of exclusive information. Engaging either target in conversation appeared difficult. Alistair would have to break through either a pack of dazzled girls or a herd of aroused, hopeful young men, depending on which target he chose. He suspected Carlyle would be unreceptive to anything more than a platonic approach. The woman had endless confidence and seemed entirely uninterested in anyone but Carlyle. She, too, could be tough to seduce. A hand touched his arm.
Excuse me, a voice asked.
Alistair turned to see a pretty brunette. Her expression was shy but eager.
Yes?
Alistair asked, nodding as if in a subtle bow.
What might I do for such a lovely vision?
Ah,
the girl grinned. She leaned in to pass along a secret.
Lorelai's been watching you all night. You know who I mean?
Alistair nodded.
She'd like to see you, in the upstairs bathroom.
Of course she would,
Alistair thought, though he presented an air of surprise and flattery.
Thank you so much,
he said, pausing to take the girl's hand and kiss it. She giggled and squirmed, the way girls so often did under his attention, and then winked at him as he stepped away.
He could have sworn, she muttered, douchebag,
as he left. But that would be ridiculous. Alistair glided up the stairs to his rendezvous. It was about time, he thought, that the woman gave up her feigned disinterest. She faced a master of that game, and sure enough, her resolve had wavered. At the top of the stairs, outside the bathroom door, Alistair smiled. He heard the shower running.
Intriguing, he thought.
He knocked. A voice, carrying more than one note of invitation, responded with, Enter. The open window over the shower allowed the steam to escape without fogging up the mirrors. Still, some condensation gathered on the shower door, blurring the view of the naked perfection on the other side. The little black dress lay over the closed toilet lid. Alistair smiled. Her odd approach to seduction had its charm.
I was hoping you would join me, Lorelai said. I hate to shower alone.
That would be a tragedy,
Alistair agreed, already shedding his clothes.
Lock the door.
Of course,
he nodded, turning to give the doorknob the requisite twist.
Everyone's distracted downstairs by some tomfoolery in the front yard, anyway.
Excellent.
She slid the glass door open, just enough to peek around, and to extend a beckoning hand to her pale visitor.
Come to me.
Smiling, Alistair complied. Clearly, she wasn't so attached to her love downstairs as she had let on. That, too, hardly surprised Alistair. She retreated into the shower as he stepped forward. He drank in the vision of her naked, wet glory, feeling his appetite stir as she gestured for him to join her under the spraying water. Her hands reached for his pale face, drawing him in close. Their mouths joined. Their bodies slid together. Lorelai wrapped her arms around his naked back, pulling him against her as she exhaled into their deep kiss. Alistair's eyes went wide with agony and utter panic. He flailed and beat against her, unable to break her grip, but it was already too late to scream. The flames she gently breathed into him rushed straight down his throat. Alistair caught fire from the inside out as Lorelai exhaled. The water cut down on the flare-ups that erupted from various parts of his body as he burned down in her arms. He didn't give off much smoke. Vampires rarely did when they burned. The open window took care of what little plumes he gave off. Lorelai shivered at the exquisite rush of ending someone in her arms once more. It wasn't the same as drawing out a victim's soul along the way, nor could any of that compare to the ongoing joy and satisfaction she derived from her lover. Nothing could compare to him. She knew that for sure now, and found it reassuring. But this would still put a spring in her step. Soon, Lorelai stepped around the wet lumps of ash to nudge them apart, easing their path down the drain. She hummed an ancient tune as she washed away every trace of her victim. The stare down on the front porch between Wade and Gabriel held until Alex arrived.
Gabriel?
He said,
"You wanted to talk to me?"
"Yeah,"
Gabriel shouted, stepping back from Wade and then jabbing a finger in Alex's direction.
"Are you fucking my girlfriend?"
"No, I'm standing here wondering why you're making a scene."
Alex frowned. The door didn't close behind him. The throng of spectators looked through it, as well as through the windows.
"I'm a beat your ass, faggot,"
the taller young man snarled.
"Hey, hold on there," objected number 14. "We don't gotta be all homophobic and shit."
Sadly, everyone ignored him. "Gabriel, seriously, chill out," Alex said, holding his hands up in a gesture of peace.
"Do you honestly think coming up here all crazy is going to accomplish anything?"
"Curb stomping your ass would be enough. You've had your nose in my business ever since I hooked up with her."
"I'm her friend, Gabriel. I was her friend before you two ever hooked up. I never made a move to steal her away. You damn well know it. I've hardly talked to her in over a year."
"Yeah, until this week. Did you fuck her?"
Alex tried to keep his cool. "Dude, what do you want me to say? I'm not gonna tell you anything about Taylor, because that's Taylor's business."
"Whatever. There's still you and me."
"Oh, God." Alex sighed. "Look, I don't want to fight. Seriously, I've been in 3 fucking fights this week. So what is it? What do I have to say to resolve this? That you're the better man?" "I'm sure you are, Gabriel. I'm sure all the chicks dig you more than me. You've got a big-time basketball career, and I'm nobody."
It was tough to say it all with any sincerity. And though Alex failed, he at least tried. At first. As he went on, though, he felt a sarcastic rambling.
"Gonna be famous. Rich. You're a snazzy dresser. I'm sure you've got a tremendous penis."
"Not compared to you, he doesn't,"
snorted Jocelyn from her spot among the open window crowded with observers. The crowd laughed. Alex winced.
"Aw, fuck."
Gabriel's eyes flared. His right jab caught Alex on the left side of his jaw and knocked him over. As Alex stumbled, Drew's leg came up and over and around him in a crescent kick that smashed right into Gabriel's face. With that, it was on, and the fight quickly became a tangled mess. Drew and Wade, each face two of Gabriel's teammates, shouting erupted from inside and then from partygoers who came out from around the back of the house to watch. Most yelled random quips of bloodthirsty enjoyment. Gabriel recovered only a heartbeat sooner than his foe. The enraged youth tackled Alex, carrying him off the porch and into the entrance of the side yard. Spectators scattered out of the way. The two struggled, throwing awkward and half-effective blows. Finally, Alex punched Gabriel directly in the throat. Gabriel jerked backward, choking and giving Alex a second to catch his breath again. He saw Wade wrestling with the blonde ball player. The other one that had jumped him was already on the ground, clutching his knee. Drew pummeled another of Gabriel's boys. The fourth, number 14, quickly saw that he really didn't want a piece of Drew. Number 14 spotted Alex as he rose and rushed over to push him down again. It was all too fast. Number 14 caught Alex before he could get his footing. They both tumbled down the small rise of landscaping between the house and the sidewalk. On the rooftop across the street, Martina groaned. The angels all saw what would happen next. "Ah, damn it," she mumbled as she darted across the street. "Run, Forrest, run," Rachel called out after her with laughter. It was a minor challenge for a guardian angel's speed, but it had to be taken seriously. Martina made it to the sidewalk an instant before the tumbling combatants hit. Her hand slipped under number 14's head before it could hit the concrete, reducing what would have been a debilitating injury to a very mild bump. His body wound up absorbing most of the impact of the landing for Alex. Number 14 grunted and coughed, but powered through the pain. He was about to throw a punch before Alex could recover, when suddenly he let out a garbled wail of pain and crumpled to the ground. Jason stood over him with a stun gun in his hand.
"Dude, check out what I bought at the mall,"
he grinned to Alex. Unseen by all of them, Martina looked down at her fallen charge with disappointment.
"I knew you should have taken the scholarship at Central Washington."
"Gah," Alex grunted, waving at Jason as he rushed back to the house. Gabriel waited for him, ready to take another swing. Alex held out little hope of putting Gabriel down alone. His recent experiences in fighting aside, Alex knew who had all the physical advantages. Gabriel was significantly larger and a star college athlete. Alex had been a mediocre high school swimmer. Alex focused on catching Gabriel's fist as soon as he threw a punch. He grabbed and twisted Gabriel's right wrist with one, then both hands. Gabriel's other fist came into Alex's side, twice, then a third time, but Alex didn't worry about that. Painful as the blows were, Alex hung on. If he couldn't pull this off, or if one of his friends didn't come bail him out, he would really get his ass kicked. Alex clung to Gabriel's right hand, which didn't stay in a fist the whole time as they struggled. The pounding Gabriel delivered with his free hand just had to be endured. Finally, Alex got hold of Gabriel's thumb and shoved it backward as hard as he could. He felt it snap.
"Ah!"
Gabriel roared. He shoved Alex away. With his goal achieved and his side throbbing with pain, Alex didn't hang on. He stumbled to the ground on one knee, gasping for breath. Gabriel stared at his hand in worry and rage.
"Stupid motherfucker. You broke my thumb."
Words didn't come any easier than breathing did. "People get hurt in fights, Gabe," Alex croaked.
"And then they can't do things like play college sports, and then they have to explain why they got hurt."
He forced himself to his feet again.
"People tried to kill me this week, douche. None of this parking lot after school bullshit.
You want to beat my ass? Fine. Whatever makes you feel better. I can't beat you, but I'll take you off the roster for the season before I go down. Is it worth that to you?"
As if to punctuate his statement, Gabriel's tall, blonde teammate fell to the ground between them, like a sack of potatoes, rolling a bit to one side with a groan. Wade stepped over to Alex's side, breathing heavily but standing straight.
I'm not much for fighting fair, either.
He frowned. A moment later, Jason stood beside them. Back behind them, someone yelled, "Uncle!" And it plainly wasn't Drew. Someone asked, "Wade, could you move, please?" Wade blinked and stepped aside. Taylor rushed through to plant an enraged fist up into Gabriel's gut. The tall youth's eyes bulged in shock as all the air left him.
"You stalked me here, you stupid fucking asshole?" Taylor roared. "What part of 'I don't want to see you again' do you not understand?"
Gabriel tried to grunt something in response, but Taylor just slapped him. "Do I need to get a restraining order on you? Should I just go talk to the coaching staff?"
"No,"
Gabriel managed to groan.
"I thought about calling the cops, actually," called out another voice. Sherry stood on the porch next to Lorelai with her cell phone in her hand. "Just three little numbers. 9-1-1, she narrated as she tapped the keys. "And then all I have to do is press send in 10-9-8.
The intruders got to their feet and shuffled off. The crowd of observers turned back inside.
"Hi, Taylor,"
Alex ventured. She turned back to him, then looked to Wade. "Hey," she said. "I haven't seen you since you got back. Thanks."
"For what?"
Wade blinked. Taylor gave him a hug. "For coming home alive."
"Huh,"
Wade grinned. When she let him go, she turned to head back inside. He was stopped in his tracks by Lorelai, who, oddly, paused to toss a tied-up garbage bag full of something or other down to the driveway. Her hair was wet, too, as if she'd just gotten out of the shower.
"I can't leave you alone without you getting into trouble, can I?"
She smiled at Alex.
"Hey, I think this is just what happens when I go out with you," he huffed. "I can't take you anywhere."
"Ah, all my fault, surely." Lorelai turned her attention to his friends. "Since the four of you gentlemen are all together now," she said, "I would very much like to have a private chat." The young men exchanged curious glances and shrugs as Lorelai sauntered back into the house. Alex felt a tug on his sleeve. He turned to find Taylor staring at him with a somewhat accusatory smirk on her face.
"Hi?"
He tried again.
"Jocelyn? Really, Alex?"
"Oh my God,"
Alex blurted guiltily. He was still stooped over, clutching his side.
Wait, you're fucking with me right now, aren't you?"
he said, seeing her face split into a laugh.
"You're not mad at all."
"Maybe a little," she shrugged. "Now I'm gonna have to hear all about it from her. Thanks for that, by the way, real pal. Always looking out for me," she rambled dryly.
"What, that thing with Gabriel?"
"What? God, no. I'm still talking about Jocelyn. This fight thing was totally unnecessary. If you had gotten me, I'd have just punched him just like I did and it would have been over. But no, you dumb boys have to have your stupid fight."
"You're still fucking with me."
"Yeah," Taylor smiled. "You know, she said you don't know how to let go and have a good time, but she didn't tell me you're spectacular about it."
"You've been talking to her?"
"Yes. She's cool. Now go see what she wants."
Jason joined Alex as he turned to do just that. His stun gun buzzed.
"This was totally worth $60.
Jason grinned. Rachel's smile was utterly smug and utterly merciless.
"You can't seriously think you won that bet,"
Timothy objected.
"Your boy admitted he couldn't win. My guy was all over him."
"Who's going home crying, Timothy? Who's still at the party?"
"He could have stuck it out long enough to put Alex in the dirt,"
Martina grumbled at Timothy.
"But he didn't. The whole thing was dumb to begin with, but he could have seen it through."
Rachel nodded, folding her arms across her chest. Wear it like a hat, bitches. Timothy glared at her sullenly. It was all just teasing. No harm was done.
Fine.
Timothy frowned.
What do you want?
You, she said, pointing at the blonde basketball player's guardian. On your knees, buddy. Holy of holies. You, she said, pointing at another. Call the coroners. I want to hear the full deal. You? Maha mantra. Sing it. Sing it till the rest of them are done. She looked to Martina. Give me something Buddhist. Something long. And you, she grinned at Timothy. He scowled, waiting for it. She reached behind her back, produced something, and tossed it to him. Timothy caught the rosary with ease. He looked at it, then made a face at Rachel. The whole thing, Rachel taunted. Best get praying. Rachel giggled as the guardian angels surrounding her gave voice to a cacophony of very different prayers. Having no real economy, angels rarely had anything else to offer in wagers amongst themselves. Her only regret was that it wasn't the right time for the Salat. Otherwise, she'd have had them all kneeling toward Mecca. Lorelai brought them to Sherry's bedroom, where she winked knowingly at Alex but said nothing to tease him. No one else had a clue. He and Jocelyn had thrown a clean comforter over the one that had been on the bed, which seemed to be more than enough of a cover-up. What you did this past Thursday night was no small thing, Lorelai explained. She held a manila envelope that none of them, even Alex, saw her bring into the house. Gorge did not rank highly in the hierarchy of his kind, but even so, it is not at all ordinary for any of our ilk to be destroyed by mortals. You were all very brave to have stood together against a demon of the pit, Lorelai said, looking at each of them intently. I am personally grateful, as I have said, that you were there for Alex and for me. She pulled out several sheets of paper from the envelope. The pit operates largely on the right of might. There is little real law beyond naked oppression. Still, there are a few things that all agree upon to prevent complete chaos. One of these is that to the victors go the spoils. She handed each of them a few pages of business papers. Each of you is now 1/4 owner of one of the most stable, successful pool halls in the Seattle area.
Damn,
Drew breathed. Alex and Wade both choked. Jason's jaw dropped as he looked at the papers in disbelief. There will be some complications in claiming outright ownership, of course, Lorelai went on. As Gorge didn't live long enough to paper everything over, but the original owner of the establishment fully concedes the sale. And yesterday, I took care of most of the necessary steps to secure your rights. As none of you are old enough to legally operate an establishment that serves alcohol, I took it upon myself to hire Ahmed as the regular manager. The previous staff is unanimously interested in staying on. All you need to do is occasionally look over the books, give your approval to expenses, sign a few papers now and again, and sit back and collect approximately $18,000 apiece annual profits, if the last few years are an accurate measure. That's not enough to live well on by itself, but I imagine it will still be a boost to your incomes.
4 shocked, disbelieving pairs of eyeballs and an accompanying stunned silence made up her audience's response.
Lorelai favored them with a grin. Obviously, you can take for granted that you won't need to pay for time at a table. Just be careful not to eat and drink yourselves into the red.
This is legal?
Wade blinked. Effectively, yes. It will hold up to legal scrutiny. We'll have to come up with some plausible reason why Gorge passed ownership to you, but Ahmed can be pliant. This works out for him financially as well.
But didn't that guy do some sort of supernatural wooginess to Ahmed to get him to sell?
Jason asked. I don't believe so, no. I cannot prove that one way or another, but he didn't need to. Ahmed received a generous price for his business and all of it in cash. He could have bargained a little more, and the decision was a bit rash on his part, but it was still his decision to make. He came out ahead in the short term, and will in the long term, as well, if you keep him on as manager for at least a year or two. Drew was every bit as overwhelmed as the others.
How did you swing this? I thought all of Gorge's papers burned up in that church.
Lorelai's sly grin only broadened. Come now, you know what I am. One doesn't spend the better part of a few dozen centuries with all of the worst sorts of people without learning a trick or two. No one is harmed, she quickly added, for Alex's reassurance. But I did have to do a bit of creative forgery and paperwork. It's not like Gorge could wrap things up at this point. But you destroyed him when he forced conflict upon you. By his own customs, his belongings are now yours. It's only a small pity that you couldn't have held him upside down and shaken him to see what fell out of his pockets before he died. And on that note, Lorelai added, picking up her purse, there is the added concern of the diamonds he flashed around. You left them behind in the midst of your brouhaha. She handed out 4 white envelopes, which the guys tore open without much pause. Each contained several $1,000 in cash. Be careful how you spend that, Lorelai said. I wouldn't suggest you deposit it in a bank unless you want to run the risk of having to explain how you got it. This is too good to be true, Jason thought aloud. No, what was too good to be true was the notion that I could live happily ever after without further threats, Lorelai said. You have all stood with Alex, repeatedly now, in the face of dangers grave and, well, whatever those boys out there might have dished out. She shrugged dismissively. You are not millionaires. You'll need to keep quiet about this until we can all agree on a solid cover story. But you earned this. And my unending gratitude as well.
I'm gonna suggest, Wade said, after swallowing hard, that we all just shut up about this for tonight and let it sink in. I mean, this will all run itself for now, right?
Lorelai nodded.
Yeah, he continued. This is awesome, but, there's a geeky brunette cutie out there waiting for me. I was talking to her before half the Huskies bench showed up. Yeah, I'm kinda hanging around here late with Sherry, too,
Drew thought aloud.
Thanks, Lorelai. Seriously, thanks.
My pleasure, she nodded as Drew exited. Wade followed. Alex offered Lorelai his hand as he was about to leave. She took it with a smile.
That's awesome, Jason grumbled. Everyone picks up at the party but me because I showed up late. There's still party left, Alex shrugged. Just show them your awesome stun gun. I bet chicks dig that.
Funny. A moment, Alex, Lorelai asked. She fixed Jason with a smoldering hot gaze of lust that stopped him dead in his tracks. She slipped her leg in between his, grinding upward with her thigh. Her hand caressed his neck as she planted a deep, wet, aggressive kiss upon his mouth. Jason fainted dead away on the bed behind him. Alex just looked on in shock. Lorelai dabbed at her lips. You said I could flirt, and I owe him my gratitude. It's not like he'll remember that happened anyway. Later, Jason sat in the middle of one of the plush living room couches. Wade had already taken off with Trish. Drew set to cleaning up the kitchen, allowing him to stick close to their increasingly flirty hostess. Alex and Lorelai departed, and so, for that matter, did Taylor, Jocelyn, and numerous others. It wasn't all bad, though. He didn't have a lot to add to the conversation, but at least he was seated between Brittany and Brittany. The former had broken up with her boyfriend that very night because he was apparently an asshole. The latter's date vanished entirely. It turned out that Brittany and Brittany were longtime friends,
Jason wasn't entirely sure if he was a welcome part of what probably should have been a private conversation. They both, however, put a hand on each of his knees when he first decided to chivalrously extract himself from the girl talk.
"She needs to hear a male perspective," Brittany said. "Only someone nice, not that jackass she just dumped."
"He dumped me," Brittany corrected. "Well, that's obviously his loss," Jason said helpfully. Brittany looked up at him like she deeply appreciated that. Brittany smiled and squeezed his leg.
"You think so?"
Brittany asked. "Sometimes I think the only thing I'm good at is sex."
"I feel like that sometimes, too,"
Brittany chimed in.
"Oh, I'm sure that's not all you're good at,"
Jason ventured, feeling an insane stiffness between his legs, like nothing that he'd ever endured before. Much of the blood from his brain retreated south. His mouth went on autopilot.
"But you shouldn't be ashamed of your talents. You should, I don't know, embrace them."
Brittany and Brittany looked up at one another in silent confirmation, just as Jason scolded himself for sounding like such an idiot. Then they each took one of his hands and stood, simply saying,
"Okay."
Even at 19, Jason lived with his protective, intrusive, conservative parents. When he staggered through his family's front door at 6:45 the next evening, having neither called nor emailed, he had considerable explaining to do. Hickeys, scratches, and even a few bite marks covered his skin. His eyes were bloodshot from lack of sleep. He reeked of perfume, sweat, and more intimate scents. His wrists bore 2 cell phone numbers, written in Sharpie marker, along with many hearts and a few endearing vulgarities. His mother, aghast, snatched away the pair of pink lace panties hanging out of his jacket pocket. It was the most awkward moment in his life to date, and totally worth it. She stood at the door with the same mixture of trepidation, excitement, and doubt that she faced while waiting for the elevator, and while sitting in her car in the parking garage, and while on her way to the hotel. The door was different, though. There'd be no turning back after walking through that door. Well, that wasn't entirely true. Taylor could turn back at any moment. This was Alex. He never held anything against her. He couldn't possibly see this coming, and wouldn't feel deserving, but he would not blame her for backing out at any point. The thing she couldn't take back was the statement that she wanted this. In front of the door, it was all still hypothetical. It was all still in her head. No one else knew. Sure, she'd made out with another woman, but lots of girls she knew did that at parties. Only she and Lorelai knew about it. Taylor could either deny it or own up to it as she chose. But once she stepped through that door, she couldn't play it off as a joke or a stunt. Either she wanted this or she didn't. And if she stepped through that door, she was the kind of girl who'd get in bed with a man and a woman. Whatever happened next would be part of who she was from now on. Even if no one else ever knew, Taylor would know. Either something wonderful waited on the other side of that door, or it would be just a lot of heartache and embarrassment. Perhaps it would be a statement of Taylor's gullibility or weakness, or just a sign of what a slut she was. Alex wouldn't see it that way, of course, or ever use such terms, but anyone else probably would. And he'd never speak of it, but he'd know. 5 days ago, he was just a high school memory, and an occasional comment on Facebook. Now he left her filled with longing and excitement. This would be complicated all to hell, no matter how non-committal it might be. He put no pressure on her, but Taylor wondered if she would want more from him than had been offered. Offered by his girlfriend, no less. His girlfriend, who presented all manner of complications and unsettling revelations. Relationships were always complicated, but this went beyond the pale. Taylor stared at the door. She thought about all that Lorelai had said to her. She thought about the looks on Alex's face at the party. He never got the chance to talk to her alone before she left. She wanted to talk to him, of course. She was dying to talk to him. But talking might have spoiled this, if she decided to go through with it. The thought seemed to settle things for her. She went to that party to see Alex, and hadn't subsequently avoided talking to him for nothing. She hadn't let Lorelai kiss her out of fear. Taylor glanced around in the hallway, ensuring she was alone. It was very late, after all. Assured, she pulled the card key out of the pocket of her jeans. Then she pulled off her jacket. "Here goes," she muttered.
"Thought we'd be going straight to bed,"
Alex said as he came out of the bathroom. He felt perfectly comfortable being nude in front of Lorelai now. And, if he thought about it, others. Lorelai knelt on the honeymoon suite's couch, now turned to face the balcony and the beautiful moonlit view of Elliott Bay beyond. The only thing she wore was her black pearl choker.
"We will do as you wish, of course," she said. Her eyes never left his, nor did they ever convey anything but lust and devotion. "But I thought you might enjoy the scenery while we enjoy one another."
Weariness showed in his smile. It had been a hell of a day, along with a hell of a night.
"You have a lot of initiative for someone who claims she isn't in charge."
"You have no idea, love."
He sat down on the couch.
"Who am I to say no to you?"
Lorelai's hands slid over his legs, spreading them apart so she could kneel between them.
"It is always in your power to deny me."
"I'd have to be an idiot,"
he replied affectionately.
"Wise man," Lorelai smiled.
Her mouth came to the head of his cock. Her tongue extended along it, providing a welcoming surface, just as her lips descended over the head and then down its entire length. Once again, she accepted much more of him than should be comfortable, yet she gave no sign of difficulty or hesitation. Alex rapidly forgot all about his fatigue and the bruising pain in his side. His worries fell away. No more party, no more people wanting to kick his ass or show him up in front of their girlfriends, no more stressing about whether he was showing enough attention to anyone in particular. It had been a great party, all in all, apart from getting beaten up and barely getting to talk to Taylor. He laid his head back on the couch, and his eyes drifted off to one side. Without really looking for anything, he saw Taylor, walking toward him, clad only in silk purple panties, a matching bra, and a shy but broad smile. "Hey," she said. His eyes went wide. He very nearly sat up, but Taylor was there just in time to put a hand on his bare shoulder. Lorelai's intensifying attention promptly robbed him of any ability to move below his hips.
"Wow,"
Taylor blinked as she slid in close. Her voice was soft, completely in tune with the intimate scene she'd just joined.
"That's hot."
"How'd you get here?"
Alex managed. "I went to the party to see you, but I saw Lorelai first. She offered me a key card."
Taylor winked. She slid closer and kissed him, gently but with passion. Alex had at least learned when to shut up and kiss back. Lorelai hadn't let up at all. Even when Alex's eyes opened, they did so with a bit of a flutter. He looked like he was about to say something, so Taylor kissed him again.
"I'm going to keep kissing you until you stop trying to explain yourself," she grinned.
Taylor glanced down at the woman between his legs.
"I think I kind of like finding you in these compromising positions."
"This is really awkward."
"No, it's not. I knew what I'd be coming into. I was afraid I'd be jealous, but I'm not."
"Why not?"
"Because I don't want more than this," she smiled, running one hand across his chest. "Because I know I'm safe with you. Because I know nobody's going to neglect me."
She parted from him to swing around the side of the couch. Taylor took up a spot beside Lorelai, kneeling on a pillow that had conveniently appeared between Alex's spread legs.
I hear this is every guy's fantasy, she said.
It was only then that Lorelai